First Liberty Live is coming to you live from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. It's also known as the Christian Media Convention. It's here in Dallas, Texas. We're so happy to be here. We're in the exhibit hall to give you an idea where we are. So all around us, this doesn't open up until tomorrow. We kind of sneaked in early with our booth. But they're setting up the various displays for ministries and networks and people that sell equipment for transmitters and cameras and all that kind of thing. So that's going on all around us. If you hear some noise now and then or some beeping, that's what that's all about. But we wanted to share something with you because this award is something that you had a part in. We wanted to let you know all about it and tell you something about it. Our guest here is Todd Winking. He's the Chief Marketing Officer at First Liberty Institute. Hi, Todd.
How are you, Stuart?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here. It is good to be here. The important thing with this is this. If you've watched First Liberty Live, if you've taken in some of the episodes, you're actually getting a little look inside this guy's head because it was his idea to do this from the very beginning. And that's what this award is for. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, this award was for our obviously First Liberty Live campaign, canceled in California. And that idea started back in December of 2019, where we first kind of had the idea for it. And we were at NRB, I think, in March in Nashville. Yep. And had plans to go full speed ahead, mainly to go towards Nashville and ultimately D.C., I think was the idea. And then, of course, the pandemic hit and shut everything down. And so, I don't know, probably in August, with all the case-breaking news in California, we thought, we have to go to California. That's the front lines of our fight right now. Yeah. We had cases happening there with schools and synagogues and so forth. So I walked down to David Holmes' office, who's our chief financial officer, and said, Dave, we need to go to California. And he looked at me and said, go get him. And that's the kind of answer that's both amazing and yet takes your breath away, because we had to get everything ready, the truck and the logistics, and get out for what ended up being, a multiple week tour in California.
Yeah, we spent most of the months, well, part of August and into September, going to various events and traveled everywhere from Sacramento all the way down to San Diego. I want to show you an image of getting this award, just so you can see what happened not that long ago. There was a luncheon just in the past hour, literally, here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And they were giving out awards to our peers all over the country. And then in the midst of that, Todd got to go up front and accept this award as part of the Best Digital Campaign. Am I saying it right?
That's right, Best Digital Campaign. This is our second award from NRB for Best Digital Campaign. And really, this award is a testament to all the work that you've done. Allison, our producer behind the scenes, Brian Rogers, Stan Corbett, Jared Bessie, Anna Grace Stallings, all the people that you don't normally see out in front of the camera who are making this happen every week and going live.
I always like to tell people I'm just the guy that gets to ask questions of the interesting people, because that's my job. I just have to sit here and ask questions. I don't have to know anything. I don't have to do anything.
See, the truth is, Stuart does a lot of show preparation before this, as we all do. And so this is your award as well, and thank you for both hanging with me in California and sharing this vision. It's only been a few months since we've launched the channel. We got back from California, and the idea was then to take that content, build our in-house studio, which we now go live from every Thursday, and then from there was to launch the channel and on and on. So, you know, I think about what we've been able to accomplish in a very short few months. You know, you'd look back on that and say, wow, you never could have believed we would have done that. And then looking ahead to 2022, I can assure you now that you're going to see programming like never before in some of the places, the cases, and the faces you're going to see. We have lots of new guests, and it'll just keep getting better.
The thing that surprised me out of all this, we, like most of you, were working out of our homes. Yeah. The offices were shut down. This was the middle of COVID last year. Yeah. And it was in the midst of that that it was a guy named Sean Foyt who started having outdoor worship gatherings in California. And that's what caught our attention, because one of them was on the Golden Gate Bridge. I remember seeing the video of that. Yeah. And that, in at least to the letter of the law, met what the state was asking for. That is, you could have an outdoor gathering, but not indoors. So we went to a gathering they had at the Capitol in Sacramento, and it was 110 degrees.
Yes. I can remember we tried to go live on Facebook for a live there, and the mics didn't even work. That's how hot it was.
The camera shut down. The phone shut down because it overheated.
Yeah, the camera shut down. And I think one of my most memorable things from that tour And some of it we showed and some of it we didn't, but was actually really the testimonies of people there, how much you know, closing houses of worship really hurt. I remember there was, I think Allison was introducing or interviewing a mom, and she just had that look, that expression on her face. She said, "This hurts." And we heard testimony after testimony at that event in Sacramento, and then subsequently throughout the week at the school we went to, and it was just a very memorable idea. But to hear, to go out on the front lines and hear those stories directly from people, I'll never forget. That was amazing.
Well, and it ranged from, I mean, there were thousands, literally thousands, somewhere between 5 and 10 was our best guess, but no one really knows, at the Capitol in Sacramento, who gathered to worship and protest, which was interesting to see worship as protest. They invited the governor to come out. He did not. Well, then we went, you mentioned, to a school where their local government was threatening to keep them from opening, even though they had gone way above and beyond what the state guidelines were as far as separating the desks, limiting the number of people in the rooms, keeping social distancing. They were doing it all, yet the government was still saying, we don't know if we'll let you open. Yeah. Then we went to a church in Rockland, California, which was basically in defiance of the governor
right,
and meeting and worshiping anyway.
Yeah, Destiny Church. And I can remember the worship pastor there, one of our first interviews, and she just articulated what this was all about. And I think she said, I never would have thought in America that I have to protest for my right to worship. And she was great, as all the guests were. And they were very gracious and accommodating for us to come in and interview them during their services all day Sunday. And on and on.
And then we went through Los Angeles, and that's where, and it's hard to picture this, it was hard for me to understand what I was saying, but every bridge and overpass, every pier, underneath, around, in any shady spot they could find, were tent cities of all these homeless folks who have shown up in the Los Angeles area. It's gotten to be a real problem for them because there are thousands of people literally living on the streets, and you could think in the middle of a pandemic, the health implications of that. It shows how the government there is failing its people in so many ways, but especially failing the church.
Yeah, and you know, it still somewhat continues now. They're now opening it, but I think when we look back on this historic time during the pandemic and just reasserting our right to gather and worship, hopefully that will be the new normal where they won't shut down churches again. And the precedents we're able to win for some of our cases, including Louisville, will hopefully make that stick. So.
Yeah. And then our final stop on that tour in California, again, this is what the award's for, and it's your award as much as ours, was in San Diego. And it's an interesting spot. I've done stories about it for years on the radio and elsewhere as a reporter, about the Mount Soledad Veterans Memorial. And for most people, if you've not seen it, it's a large lighted cross on top of the highest point in that area, not far from the coastline, so you can see it for miles around. And it's to honor veterans from all the different wars that America has been involved in. And it was challenged because it happened to sit on government property. First Liberty Institute got involved, and there was a decision by the Supreme Court, which at that time was precedent-making. Now we've had other decisions that have helped find other ways to solve it. But basically, that circle of property that the cross sits on was made private property, and a foundation now runs it. And the Supreme Court said, well, it's private, so now it's okay. But the location speaks volumes, and the challenge speaks volumes about the work that we do every day.
Yeah, I think one of the most memorable things, Hiram Sasser joined us out for that part of the tour, and I think you and I had a chance to talk with some of the members of that association, hear the veteran stories of everyone who's on the plaques of that memorial.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about noise in the background. Yeah, that would be an example, just so you know.
Yeah, but the view itself is breathtaking. You're looking out over the bay. And it's just so peaceful and tranquil. It's very kind of a meditative place to think about all those who gave their lives in defending our freedoms, including our religious liberty. And it's one of my favorite sites to visit.
Now, what's ahead for First Liberty? As you look down the road, what are we getting involved in that's going to make a difference in the culture?
Well, I think we're getting ahead to really go out and just share more of these stories of Gail Blair, stories of our clients, so people can just connect with our clients, understand not only the case, but the people behind the case. And that's really the reason for this channel. We created it as a way to really connect with our supporters and tell a story and the narrative in a way that you just can't really do anywhere else. And I think also it was to make sure that we can get the facts and the truth out without fear of censorship, without, you know, being shadow banned and you know what everyone else typically goes through on the channels. And so this is our proprietary channel. We go live every Thursday, and it's really, we did it because of supporters like you helped make it happen. and we hope you enjoy it. We're going to be bringing you more stories and more people throughout next year. Can't wait.
And we're trying to find new ways to connect with people. You may see behind Todd, I think you can see in the background there, there's a display for The Chosen. And it they've got Simon Peter's boat set up, his fishing boat, and some other examples from the show. If you've not seen that, they've found a new way to reach people directly. It's not through the studios.
That's right.
It's not through satellite TV. It's none of that. They're reaching people directly through an app and then providing their content that way. We're also trying to make that direct connection with people because we live in a cancel culture, mm-hmm. and we're deeply concerned that people are going to try to get in between us and you so that you can't hear what we have to share and vice versa. So one way that we're trying to get through that, similar approach, and that's with the First Liberty Live app. Tell me about it, Tom.
Yeah, again, it was just, as you see with The Chosen, you can download the app, and it's a way people are coming direct to consumers. I don't need other third-party platforms to talk to you and engage you with. We can do it ourselves, which is essentially the essence of First Liberty Live. And what's exciting to me is you see, you know, the mobocracy online, you see people being canceled and shut off or deplatformed. I think you're also seeing a sort of a genesis of new channels coming up, whether it's in you know, faith-based circles, conservative circles, and it's probably the most exciting time to be out in front of digital and bringing these stories live and to be able to do what we do. I think we did a good job of getting out ahead of it, and I think that's the future, is more of these, as we keep finding our audiences and bring more of these stories directly to our supporters. So it's going to be a really exciting time next year.
So if you want to find the app, just go to go to the App Store or Google Play, look for First Liberty Live, and if you've got an iPhone or a Droid, whichever, we've got you covered, and it will work on there. We got an exciting week ahead, a lot of guests coming up. We're going to be live here from the exhibit hall. That's why we've got all this set up for you. Among the guests, we're going to hear it's part two of our conversation with Ken Starr that we started last week. He's going to talk more about some of the cases that have helped frame the work and the court fights over religious freedom. We can see the context of that. I'm also going to ask him about the decision that just came down last week in Fulton v. Philadelphia that dealt with adoption agencies that honor marriage as the union of a man and a woman and that want to live by their faith as they go through the process of finding homes for children. I'm going to talk to him about that. It was a big victory, 9-0, and we'll get an idea of how that fits in. He wrote about it in his book, which we'll also be talking about. We're going to hear from Star Parker. You probably recognize her name. She's a blogger, an author. She used to show up on Politically Incorrect and go in the midst of it and join with people to talk about things. We're going to talk to the Kendrick brothers, Alex and Steven. You've probably seen some of their movies, Courageous, War Room, Incomer, Flywheel. Should I list all of them? My family watched all of them. Facing the Giants is a favorite. My family watched all of them last week. From beginning to end. We'll hear from them this week and what projects they're working on. And also from some of our Kelly Shackelford's going to be here speaking, so we'll sit down with him and talk about what's on his mind. Probably going to talk about this effort to overthrow the Supreme Court by adding more justices to it, so that'll be one of the topics we deal with. And also dealing with Kenny Vaughn with Shields of Strength. He's going to show up and chat with us on Thursday. You can find all of those if you go to firstlibertylive.com if you're not already there. We have a list of all the upcoming events, and it will show you the times that will be going live throughout the week. And, of course, you can always watch them after the fact. And guess what? We're going to do more interviews than that. Some of them we're going to record and share with you later. So we're going to be talking to a lot of people this week, and we wanted to do that so that we could share with you the things that we're finding out, learning, and seeing, and also experiencing here at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. You looking forward to the week ahead?
It's going to be an amazing week. I mean, as you're listing through all the interviews that Allison set up, I thought, is that all?
No, it's not. There are more.
It just gets more. And we're going to have more surprise guests come up in August. I don't know. We talked about sharing some big news.